are right here at Sharp Fastest Gallery back in Greenwood today. And we, of course, are having a good time right here, getting ready to talk to Ted here today. And it'll be pretty darn good because you're going to learn all about amateur radio operators. That's right, those ham operators right here in Greenwood. So today my very special guest is Ted Davison. And Ted, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Ann, and how are you?
Very good, very good. Hey, listen, you've got an exciting new job helping out with the Emergency Preparedness Division here, right?
Right. Well, the Greenwood County Emergency Management Group was looking for somebody to help with the amateur radio portion of it, and through Pat Patterson, I took that position in May and have been organizing some people and getting it back to where it should be, and hopefully something we never really have to use here in town, but we'll be ready.
Well, you know, that is the question. I'm going to just be, what do we need it for? I mean, we got cell phones, we got computers, we got radios. What do we need this for, Ted?
Well, amateur radio is kind of unique in the fact that we don't have to have anything in between two radios. Like your cell phone and my cell phone are actually walkie-talkies. But the only way they work is if my telephone connects to a central switch, because it knows my phone number, and it's going to call your phone number because that central switch also knows your phone number. So we're not talking directly. So if anything happens to that central switch that's in between us, we can't talk. Amateur radio, on the other hand, we have our walkie-talkies, but they talk directly to each other, or our radios talk to each other, so there's no central switch for us. So usually what happens is if there's a big disaster and that central switch goes down or some of the cell towers go down, no one can talk on cell phones. It's happened in the last 7 disasters here that we've had in the last year and a half, and amateur radio has come to the rescue, so to speak, and has taken over for that portion of time to where cell phones can get back on the air and other radios used in the counties can also get back on the air.
Joplin was the big one, right?
Joplin was really, really a bad thing, and the amateur radio guys, I think for almost 3 days, were getting what we call traffic, which is messages from Joplin to other parts of the area that either had problems or needed help, and they really helped out. And it's been an organization that's been going since 1935 on a national level and has helped out in many disasters, whether it's for 2 hours or whether it's for 2 weeks. So that's what we have here. We have a large group of people here in town that if something happened, there's about 8 of us that can man our own radios, and we can get our information in and out if that disaster ever comes here, which, of course, we hope doesn't.
Sure. And I guess kind of like what they do, they have drills and this type of thing. You probably would be having some drills to check and make sure that y'all are up and ready to be able to do that.
We actually had one June 6th and 7th, and we made contact with several counties around here, and Greenville, South Carolina, and also nationally. I think we had 2 or 3 contacts nationally, too. So it does work. It's something that's practiced a lot, mm-hmm. and something that we always need more amateur operators to come in and join the group, because not everybody can help at the same time. So
sure. Now, that brings up another interesting question here. Of course, you're actually not from Greenwood. Where are you from originally?
I am from Youngstown, Ohio. I grew up there, and I moved to South Carolina in 1987.
You're wearing a Buckeyes Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah.
Here
go
today.
Bucks. Go Bucks. Absolutely.
Well, I guess you know Phil Biffle?
Yes.
Okay, big Buckeye fan. Here.
Absolutely. Okay. Matter of fact, I think he's the second person that I met in town here back in 1987. Good guy.
He's on the radio with us every morning.
Right.
And, you know, on Mondays, it's always a question of did they or did they not win their game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now, you, of course, were, I see we're at 6. you got into ham radios?
Yeah, my dad found a radio when I was six, and I listened to shortwave for years and years and years, and I listened to some of the broadcasts from overseas, and I also listened to ham operators. So it's something that I always wanted to do and never really had time to do until about 5 years ago. Then I got interested in it. I did the testing for it, and I passed my test, so I have my license, and I've been on the air ever since.
Are you addicted?
Yes, very much so. Very, very much so. It's a great hobby. It really is a great hobby. There's all different things you can do with a hobby, and I do some of them, and I just absolutely have a blast almost every night on the air, too, I might add.
So you're not sitting there in front of the TV?
Some nights if the programming's good, but yeah. Programming's lousy anyhow.
Well, you were telling me 10 o'clock at night, usually till 1 or 2 in the morning.
That's about the best time for me to be on air, right?
And you like to talk to European countries?
I've got several people in the UK, Sweden, Finland, Holland, Germany, Greece, Italy. There's probably a group of maybe 30 or 40 of us that try to get on about the same time every day. And we just have a blast. And of course, there's probably 15 or 20 people here in the States, and we all get this big group. And as we're talking, there's other people that want to talk to us. So we let them come in, and we get their call signs, and we just have a blast with it.
That's pretty right. Neat. Now, what type of things do you talk about? Oh, the weather here in Greenwood, no?
Well, sometimes we talk about the weather. Recently, it's been gas prices, because in the UK, if we do the conversions from the pound and from the gallon and everything, right now in the UK for diesel or for petrol, which is gas over there, they pay about $8.50 a gallon for it.
$8.50 a gallon.
And that's one of the cheaper places over there. There are some countries that are paying like $12 U.S. for gas, and it's just unbelievable.
How do they deal
with it? I don't know
how
they do it. I really don't know how they do it. But that's what they're up against over there. And when I say that I just came from Walmart and I paid $2.98, I just absolutely go bananas about it.
Absolutely.
So, right.
Well, of course, South Carolina actually has one of the lowest gas prices, and of course it all has to do with the taxes, the federal
right.
taxes particularly. On
right,
it.
Yep.
So, that's amazing. $8, can you imagine? Now, of course, and I'm sure you've heard with all the things going on in Greece and the political
mm-hmm.
stuff and everything, I'm
mm-hmm.
sure they actually have conversations about that, too.
Yeah, it's something that's not really not really the talk of the town,
sure.
Something that you're really not supposed to talk to on the radio, but there's a lot of comments that go on about what's happening in Greece, Italy, the UK, and, of course, here in America, too. And that makes for some lively discussion, too.
Why are you not supposed to talk about it?
Well, it's not really the intent of amateur radio. You know, we're not trying to be politicians or anything, but learning from some of the mistakes that have been made over in Europe, I just hope we don't get to that point over here.
Well, that's true. That's one of the
right.
things that we keep hearing about that we're getting very close to.
Right.
But the average age of the ham operator, what would you say the average age is?
I just read the other day that I believe it's like 59 years old or maybe 60 now, and it's a very graying hobby. But our radio club here in town, we have, I believe, about 58 members, and we do have probably about a third of them are younger people now, and it's very good to see that, because amateur radio is something that doesn't cost any money once you buy some of your equipment. You don't have to pay any airtime. You can talk wherever you want to. You can talk to whomever you want to, and it's a very inexpensive hobby once you get past the first part of the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's used equipment out there, just like buying a car. You can
sure.
go buy a brand new car, or you can buy a used car, and it's going to get you from point A to point B.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Ted Davison, and we are going to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the programs, maybe getting you a little interested in being a ham radio operator, and maybe you want to help out with their emergency systems that they're setting up here. So if you've got a question for Ted, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Did you know this was all going on right here in Greenwood? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. We'll be right back. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you.
Feels so right, it can't be wrong. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right, we're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon, having a good time talking to Ted Davison. He is now in charge of the ham operators for the Emergency Management Division. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because you wouldn't think that that would be that what we would need. But in times of emergency, cell phones, computers, electricity, all these things can be knocked out. But guess what? A ham operator can still get the word out. And, Ted, I wanted to ask you, why do they call them ham operators?
Well, you know, that's been one of those questions that nobody can really answer. There's seven or eight different stories out, and I really...
Is there one that you like? One version that you've heard that you like?
Well, no, really.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just one thing that came up, and everybody tries to figure out how it got that name, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that really knows that story, but... Every time that question is brought up, whether it's on the Internet or whatever, there's seven or eight different stories, and no one really knows for sure. But it's been around for a long, long time.
Well, okay. All right. Well, we, of course, are talking about some of the ways that ham operators can really, really, really help our area and help in a time of an emergency or a disaster. Of course, you never hope that you never need it. But then again, that's why we buy insurance for cars and homes and all this kind of stuff. We hope we never need it, but it's there if you do. So this is like an insurance plan, really, for our community.
Exactly, and I think if you think of your home fire extinguisher that's in your kitchen, you bought it, you know it's there, hopefully you do check it once in a while, and you might never have to pull the pin and put a fire out in your house, but you know it's there. And hopefully it does work and will work when you need it. So that's about the best explanation I've ever heard.
Sure.
About having a group of amateur radio operators ready to go.
Now, have you filled all the positions that you would like to have available to work with this, or are you still looking for people to get involved with this program?
Well, right now we have about eight people that are in it, and there's a minimum of 144 licensed ham operators that are active within Greenwood County. And we need more people because you wouldn't necessarily have to come to the main radio room if there's a problem. Matter of fact, we need people that would be on the north side of town, east, west, and south side of towns, because maybe you don't want to come downtown if there's a problem. If there's something that happens with the railroad and, you know, you can't get through or there's something, then we need people on the outskirts of town, too. So, fortunately, most of the people that are in our group are within the outlying areas, but we always need more people because not everybody can come when you drop the hat. And that's something that we're looking for all the time. Very easy to get into. Just call me, send me an email, text me, and
what's that telephone number to call you?
You can call me at home. It's area code 864-377-1872. I'd be happy to speak with you, and we've got some paperwork that we can get to you and fill it out, send it back. We will have some future training coming up here in the next couple months, and it's something that we'd like to hear from. If we could hear from every ham in the county, that would be great.
Well, every ham in the county. There you go. There's a lot of them here, let me tell you. Well, we're talking about the ham radio operators, aren't
yeah.
we? Yes.
Yes.
Now, what if somebody's listening to this and saying, you know, I always thought that would be a fun hobby or something. We have a ham radio club here.
Right.
And how would somebody get involved or find out more? You can't just go on the airways. You actually have to pass some tests, correct?
Right. The actual licensing now is on three different levels of licenses.
Well, it must be the federal government involved.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. However, the FCC, which is actually owns the airwaves, so to speak, and the ones that do pass out call signs, they do not give the tests. The tests are given by other groups of people, of which we have a group of people here in town that does a testing on the first Tuesday of every even month at the Red Cross building. And when you're ready to take the test, if you call us, you can come down and test out. And if you...
It's a difficult test?
Well, the first level of test...
And what are the different levels that you actually are or become?
Well, the first level test is very probably very easy for people to get. It's kind of general questions about radio, and that allows you to use a walkie-talkie, as I have here.
You mean that one of the questions isn't who's on in the morning from 8 to 10 on 1450 a.m.? That's not the question.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the question. But that's
Ann Eller, in case you guys didn't know. Yeah, okay. Go ahead, kid. Sorry.
So anyhow, if you pass that test, then you can get the general test, which offers some different frequencies for you to use. And if you pass that test, then you can get the extra test, which is more bandwidth, so to speak. So people that have the extra licenses can talk on all of the amateur radio frequencies here in America. So it's something that people work for, and they... Actually, I sat down and took all three of them at once and was very lucky to actually pass them all at once. But there's other people that we help in our club.
Mm-hmm.
We do have one of our members will be teaching the general class course here very soon. And if you're interested in that, you can call me again.
Well, you should let me know, and I'll make sure I put it out on the airwaves
for
you. How about that in the morning?
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
that would be great. So the actual test itself, you can get into it very easily. It doesn't cost a lot of money for. Matter of fact, there's some imported radios now that you can hold in your hand that are like $75, and that would allow you to get on the air. So it doesn't cost a lot of money to get started, and you can go as far as you want in a hobby. I kind of went overboard myself when I started, but. Excuse me, I was just very lucky to get that extra level license, which is the highest level license they have now.
Sure. So there's a lot of possibilities of that. When we come back, we actually are going to talk more about ham operators. We're also going to talk about the SC HART project and, of course, the emergency prepared project. And I want to talk about the 100 years of amateur radio licensing that actually happened back on 1912. That's August 17th coming up. We're going to talk some about that. And, of course, that ties in real well with where we were yesterday down at the South Carolina State Museum right there for the Titanic exhibit. I understand you took your granddaughters down there the other day, and you were amazed that they wanted to stay there all day.
Oh, absolutely. They had a great time, absolutely great time. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. So, and there's so much more than the Titanic. I mean, that museum is just packed.
Four floors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if you'd like a fun place to go, and, hey, we did come back with some general admission tickets that we're going to be able to give away for Giveaway Friday. So make sure you're tuning in. We'll be giving those tickets out, too. So that's what's going on. You are having another Amateur Radio Ham Fest that will be held Saturday, January 12th, 2013.
Right, Piedmont Tech.
That's right.
We had one last year, and we had over 400 people show up for it.
Wow.
And, of course, a Ham Fest is Radio Ham Fest, not ham, but Radio Ham Fest.
Do you have any people show up for the ham? Well, you know, you've got a good way to advertise it because y'all are on the air and putting the word out there. But that's tremendous. Do people come from outside the area, too?
Oh, yeah. We had people from Ohio. We had people from Michigan that showed up, people from Florida. It's a great place to find parts that you may or may not need, and it's a great place to find some of the newer stuff at some pretty good prices.
So put that on the calendar. That's January 12th, 2013, and be an excellent way. But if you're looking for a great hobby and if you love to talk, there's another good thing, right?
Right.
You can definitely be on a ham radio and having a good time. But did you know before, what was it, 1906, you could actually just go out there and buy whatever you want and put it up?
Yeah, there were a lot of people that that had their own equipment and were making their own equipment, and it got pretty hairy until the 1912 Radio Act
put a kibosh on that.
Absolutely. And so that kind of gave everybody the proper direction to go, and you know, here we are today. So
absolutely. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Ted Davison, and we're going to be talking more about ham radios. Right now it is time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Monday, happy day. Wednesday, happy days.
Thursday, oh, that's right. We are right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I am Ann Eller. Yes, I have Ted Davison. He is actually chairman of the Greenwood Amateur Radio Society, and he's also working with the Emergency Preparedness Division to make sure we are covered in case of an emergency. You know, that's one thing you really like about Greenwood and the surrounding areas is that they do what's necessary to make sure that everything, all our bases are covered, and that's actually should be a very comforting thing.
Yeah, it's something that that's why we need as many ham operators as we can. And if I may correct you, I'm the treasurer of the club.
Treasurer? Oh, okay.
Chairman of the Ham Fest. So.
Oh, chairman just of the Ham Fest?
Of the Ham Fest, yeah.
Okay, where you guys get together and eat a lot of ham.
Exactly.
That's right. But it's an excellent organization here. Now, do the Greenwood Amateur Radio Society, does it meet any particular time? Or?
Yeah, we meet the third Monday of every month at 7 o'clock at the Turner House, which is on Bailey Circle.
Sure, okay.
And that's actually behind the old library.
Right.
We just had our meeting last Monday, and we are making plans for the Ham Fest coming up. And we now have our own little book library that we have in the club with some books that were donated and some different books that we've purchased so that somebody wants to make an antenna. We've got books for that, and it's more or less a very diverse group of people. There's people that like to do different things in amateur radio. We've got people that like to talk through satellites. We have people that like to do contesting, which is a way to pick up points by using your radio talking to different parts of the world. There's people that like to talk on walkie-talkies all the time, and there's something for everybody right now.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
So if you'd like more information about any of the stuff we're talking about, of course, you can call Ted 377-1872. That's 377-1872. And if you're on, now what's your handle if somebody wanted to get in touch with you on the ham radio here?
Okay, if they do want to get me on the ham radio, my call sign is AI4WN. And our radio club website is W4GWD.org. We're also on Facebook at Greenwood ARS. And that's one of our new things that we're doing now. And if you see anybody driving down a road around town that has an amateur radio license on their car, on their license plate, or has a big antenna on their car, stop them and ask them. They'll be happy to talk to you.
All right. So you're saying you guys like to add people to your group. It's not exclusive.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now, we were talking about how many, off the air, we were talking about how many people are on ham radios in the United States and then how many in Japan. It's phenomenal numbers. Let's just talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, the last numbers that I read, in America, there are 700,000 licenses that are in America. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody talks on a radio at the same time. Some of those licenses may or may not be active, but in Japan, the last census out of Japan was 2 million licenses in Japan.
Wow, 2 million.
It is a very popular hobby in Japan. The Japanese people kind of see it like I do at times. There's no monthly cost to talk on a radio.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay your cell phone bill. You don't have to be on a DSL line. Once you buy the equipment, the rest of it's free. But the Japanese have really gone gung-ho on it, so to speak. And matter of fact, most of these radios are made in Japan now. But they are very, very adamant, and it's a very, very big hobby over in Japan.
So when they had the tsunami and everything over there, I guess that was very helpful in keeping them all connected.
Absolutely. There was probably all of the 2 million people over there that have licenses were on talking. I mean, it was very, very good information being passed, sometimes better than what they were hearing on the from their press people. And they did a very good job of handling that.
Oh, terrific. All right, so as you can see, this is a big, fun hobby. You've got so many aspects of it. Now, you were telling me that even some people are doing video over the airways with this.
Yes, you can. You can transmit TV images over the air. There's a whole bunch of people that do that. Of course, there's a lot of hams like to use Morse code. There's some
Come on, isn't Morse code dead? What are you talking about? Bam, 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 bam.
Hey, that's good. That's close, very, very close.
Okay.
Actually, code, you know, code is something that it doesn't take a lot of power to use code, and that's why a lot of people use it. You can get into it without all the expense. And it also gets through. It gets through the static that's there, and sometimes goes much, much further than voice does. And we have some new stuff out there, digital stuff that's out now. And a lot of the younger people seem to be using that. And
the digital?
Digital stuff, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just becoming very, very popular. And like I said, you know, there's no cell phone bill to pay. There's no monthly charge to be a ham operator.
But you do have to be registered ham operator.
You have to be licensed, yes.
Right, because the airwaves are everybody's airwaves, right?
Right.
Yeah, kind of like driving a car, huh?
Exactly. Got to follow the rules and regulations.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that interests me was the 100 years of amateur radio licensing. They had the Radio Act of 1912. Now, before that, though, tell us a little bit about the Wild West days of ham radio.
Well, actually, there were several people that had been experimenting with wireless back in the late 1800s. And in 1901, Mr. Marconi was the first one to have achieved sending a message from the UK to Canada. And it wasn't quite documented very well. So in 1902, he got on a ship and left the UK, sailing towards Canada, and was picking up messages from his transmitter in the UK all the way over.
Now, was this Morse code? Or
this
was
is
it...
all Morse code, right?
Okay, yeah.
All Morse code. I don't believe voice came on the air until the late 20s or so, because actually what they were doing, they had very, very large generators making very, very big sparks, and they were actually transmitting static and receiving static, and that's how it got, I mean, that's how it all got started. And then by 1912, there were so many people doing it as a hobby that's why Congress at that time came out and said, this is what we're going to do. This, you know, this part of the radio spectrum you cannot talk on. You can have 1,000 watts or 1,000 sparks, whatever. And that's what actually got the hobby together. And that was back in 1912. And the ARRL, which is the American Radio Relay League, which is the voice of, which is our voice, they were organized in 1914, and that got the amateur guys together. Mm-hmm. So 1912 and all the way back to 1901, but everybody was trying to do something wirelessly, and that's how it started.
Now, of course, that means that on the Titanic, when they were sending out messages, one of the things that they could do, they could actually check their stock portfolio and all these kind of things, but that was all done in Morse code then.
Right, right, that was all done. Yeah, that was in Morse code, and the famous two operators now that were on the Titanic, generally their traffic they were passing during the day and night were like gold prices, stock prices.
And people had to pay to get this information.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That's very interesting.
Right.
And yesterday when we were down in Columbia, we were talking about the fact that they were so into sending out the messages about how exciting this trip was that when the other ships were sending messages saying, be careful out there, there's icebergs and everything, they said, don't bother us.
Right.
We're having too good a time doing
right.
what we're doing. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And, of course, as because of the Titanic sinking and because of the issues there, actually, they passed the Radio Act of 1912, and, of course, that was actually August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting that they had the survivors of the Titanic come and talk before the Congress,
right.
And that is part of the reasons that they passed it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they think that the 751 people are... I think that was a number that survived because of the two radio operators that were on board.
Yeah, amazing. So we are here at Sharp Fast's Gallery. We are talking with Ted Davison. He is into this stuff, folks, and maybe you'd like to get into this ham radio business. Maybe you'd like to help out in case of an emergency, or maybe you'd just like to learn a little more about how to get your license and be able to get started. It's a fascinating hobby, one that's been around for a long time, and as Ted likes to say, it's the cheap way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you said, but that's what you mean. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. We'll be back in just a moment.
By gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery. 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
That's right. We're right back here at Sharp Fast's Gallery. Hey, yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Ted Davison. Do you know the ham radios even have a Facebook page? And, you know, one of the things we were just talking about is the fact, you know, we all love Facebook to keep in touch with everybody, but what happens when the whole computer system goes down? You know what? You don't have Facebook. Would that be true?
Absolutely right.
So if you are thinking you're covered because you're on Facebook and you would be able to get a hold of family and friends, might not be so.
No, it's that central switch. Everybody's got to go through that central switch. And if that's down, Facebook isn't going to work.
That's right. So you got to think about these things, and you got to think about maybe you want to be connected with the ham radios people. They've got a great club. Let's go through some more information on how people can get in touch or be part of the club or the website. What you got there, Ted?
Okay, well, the W4GWD.org is our website, and our new Facebook that's been out here for a couple days is Greenwood ARS, which is Amateur Radio Society. And matter of fact, I just checked it today. Looks very good, and I have to thank Adam Shirley for that. He's kind of our whiz kid, and he did a very good job.
Younger guy, right?
Younger guy, yeah.
takes all kinds to make this come together.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, that's one thing you hate to see, is that so many young people would probably really love this if they ever got a taste of it.
Yeah, it's something that...
Yeah, I bet your granddaughters. Have they been involved in it at all?
I've got one that I think likes to look at the radio and wants to... You know, maybe I can get her to talk on the radio, but, you know, mostly they're texting.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what a lot of young
people... But texting would be gone, wouldn't it? If we had a massive outage, massive problem, that would be gone.
Texting would be gone, too, yes.
So you would be pretty popular. You would be a pretty popular guy if we had if we had computers down. Imagine how frustrating it would be, you know, just when they're down for just 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, I know.
How frustrated you can get. Imagine that being a day or 2 days or 3 days. Who knows?
Right. And if you have people that are hurt, if you need hospital supplies, if you need other stuff, and you can't get the word out, it's going to be a bad situation.
Absolutely. Right. Now, speaking of the hospital, there is the South Carolina Healthcare Amateur Radio Team, SC HEART. Tell us a little bit more about that. Now, you're all connected, and you actually have an office in the hospital.
Right, we do.
Room or...
Right, we do have in the hospital locally here. The radio room that we have in a hospital is very similar to the one that we have in the basement here at the courthouse. So we actually have two different radio rooms. So we're training people not only to operate the courthouse radio room, but to operate over at the hospital. And there is 70 hospitals in South Carolina that are all connected by radio. And there's a test done every Thursday. That goes on to be sure everybody can get online, or I should say on air, and that's done every Thursday. And if something happens here in town that maybe half the hospital gets broken or something happens to half the hospital, we can use that radio room to contact other hospitals in the area and say, we need oxygen tanks, we need medicines, we need this and that. And this is something that's fairly new. It's been going on for a couple of years, and it's a very, very nice network, and it is tested all the time. So hopefully we never have to use that either. But we need volunteers for this radio service, too.
You know, now one of the things you were telling me is that just like when you are a volunteer at the hospital, mm-hmm. this comes under that volunteer program.
Correct.
So any of the training or the things you have to sit through and go through are the
correct.
Same things to be part of that program, correct?
Correct. That is correct. And there's it is the hospital policy, and if you become a hospital volunteer, of which I've been one now for about 3 years, there are other stuff you can do in a hospital, too.
Sure.
But if you are an amateur radio operator and you would like to be involved with this, I'd love to hear from you.
Sure. So, and again, Ted's telephone number is 377-1872. That's 377-1872. Now, if somebody started down the road to becoming a ham operator today, mm-hmm. how long would it take them to become licensed?
I've seen people do it in a one-day seminar.
Wow.
Of which we have tested large groups of people who have gone in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they have been lectured, and they have a lunch break. They come back, they've been lectured again, and they take the test, and they pass. And I'll tell you what, the teachers are just absolutely phenomenal, and that will get you the first license in your path to being a ham operator, and that can be done in one day, and
mm-hmm.
oftentimes people don't have that opportunity. I would say if you got the book and you studied and looked at it for 2 months, you'd be ready to come down and take a test with us on the first Monday of every even month at the Red Cross Building, 7 o'clock.
Okay. So I guess, do you work with the Red Cross, too, then? I would presume there's some connection there if you're taking the test.
Yes, we have. Matter of fact, one of our younger members who did his Eagle Scout project
mm-hmm.
Had raised money, and we do have a radio in the Red Cross building that is used for amateur radio.
Wow.
And he got the whole project done.
Wow. What's his name? Do you remember?
Henry, I can't remember his first name. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Henry.
Mr. Henry.
Right.
Well, still, that is pretty cool to go out and do that and follow that all the way through. That's the way Eagle Scouts. Great job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, we have been here talking about all the things that you can do on your own for a fun hobby, but also if you'd like to be involved in emergency situations, whether it's through the hospital or through our emergency preparedness division right here in Greenwood County, this would be a phenomenal experience for you and make you invaluable during a disaster. And yet when there's not a disaster, there's so many fun things you can do on it.
And it's Nelson Henry. Thank you very much.
Nelson Henry. Okay. Well, Nelson Henry, Eagle Scout, congratulations to you.
Yes, very good. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, there's just so many of our young people are doing such phenomenal things.
Yes, they are.
And what we need, though, is more young people getting involved in the ham radios because it is the one vital link that will not be broken.
Correct.
Wouldn't that be fair to
say? Absolutely.
And so, you know, as we talk about terrorism and we talk about some of the things that could happen out there, you know, just recently they've been talking about the GPS and how they could take over that, or the drones that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Ham radios would still be there.
Right. We are there, batteries in hand, radios in hand, antenna in hand. We can get the signal through. So
this is really, really important stuff. So how about make sure you contact Ted, 377-1872. Now, your website again?
Is w4gwd.org, or on Facebook, Greenwood ARS on Facebook.
Absolutely. So check them out there. See about getting involved. If you've ever had any experience with it. Now, how long is a license good for?
10 years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have let your license lapse, maybe you did it 20 years ago and you kind of got away from it.
You have a 2-year grace period after it's expired.
Okay.
So hopefully you would have renewed it beforehand, which doesn't cost any money, by the way.
Okay. And other than that, you would just have to review and take the test again.
Right.
Okay. Excellent hobby. Good thing to do. Hey, Ted, thanks so much for coming out here today.
Well, thank you for having us here.
Yeah, and we certainly hope to hear more about what's happening. And when you have any programs or whatnot coming up, just give us an email, and I'll be sure to put it over my airways right here on WCRS.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we are almost out of time here, but this has been a fascinating subject, and I certainly hope everybody has learned a lot. You know, right now it is 91 degrees out there, 91 degrees in our fair city, so warmed up. And, of course, we looks like we might end up with a, we might end up with a thunder shower. They're talking about partly to mainly cloudy tonight with scattered thunderstorms, so be prepared. Hey, I'm going to give it up and let Timeless Cool take on. Ted, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Hopefully, wait a minute, I talked to Peggy today. She is going to be back, and so tomorrow morning we will be on the airwaves with the I Love Ann Show. Bye-bye, everybody. Since